Now, earlier this week, we sent Mira to meet our technology correspondent, and that's Chris Vallance, to tune into the technology that's changing the way that we keep up with our favourite bands.
Some recent projects in the field of technology have been in the production and tracking of music. So I've come to London to meet up with our resident tech expert, Chris Vallance, for a coffee to chat about these quirky developments. So Chris, one piece of news is a way to follow your favourite bands in a new way.
Yes, I thought I'd talk about this because it's got a Cambridge connection. This is a startup company called Songkick. It's a new tech venture. And it basically aims to be a kind of Last FM for live bands. The idea is that it knows the kind of music you like. It follows what you listen to on your computer and tells you when bands you might like come to town. Now, there are lots of sites doing this, sites like Bands in Town. Last FM also do it as well. What's interesting about Songkick, two of the Songkick founders are Cambridge University graduates, and there's the Cambridge connection, is the way in which Songkick picks up on bands that don't actually have any real big recording deal. These might be the people who practice in their bedrooms, you know, who play the pub once a week. How do you find out about bands like that? Well, Songkick uses something very clever. It uses what's called semantic search. In other words, it looks at web pages, it looks at blogs and what people are writing and tries to draw out some of the meaning, using that to figure out, you know, what does the person who's written this like? What kind of music do they like?
So it can get you interested in new music as well?
Yeah, the idea is that it captures the bands who really just don't register on the radar of things like iTunes, for example, people who don't have music deals. Well, I spoke to Ian Hogarth, who's a founder of the site, and he explained a little bit more about how their technology works.
We've got the first recommendation engine ever for music, for live music. So, you know, Pandora, Last.fm, great recommendation engines for music. We've built one that works for live music.
What's different about a recommendation engine for live music?
The main reason is because of the size of the bands you're talking about. So, you know, the conventional long tail for music. There's bands that the long tail kind of goes down and it stops when the band isn't being recorded, but then it keeps going for live, down to the guy who just like plays in his bedroom and has a MySpace page. And those guys are playing live, but they're not really being recorded as such. So we need to find a way of recommending them. And there's much less data out there on them, so we have developed a kind of semantic web approach to getting data for that artist such that we can recommend them.
So that was Ian Hogarth, one of the creators behind Songkick, showing a new way to follow even the most remote bands out there.
The system also tracks buzz about bands, which has led some people to worry that it might be a tool of use to ticket touts, but I guess that's going to be the case with any new technology like this. So it'll be interesting to follow how this Cambridge-inspired project works.
Holy go, I know it's gone A4. Knock, knock, knock on heaven's door. Wash up on an astral shore, or trample on a dusty floor.
Chris, what on earth is that?
Well, I'm sorry to inflict this upon your listeners. This was a piece of music I was involved in the writing of because I paid a visit to a very interesting project called Rise and Shine. Now, what Rise and Shine aimed to do is for a whole month, they aimed to write a song between the hours of 7 and I think 10 about the day's news. Now, OK, that's kind of interesting and they were podcasting it, etc. But why is that a tech story? Well, what I thought was fascinating is the way that they were using new video tools to help write the song, to help get a community around the song. So, for example, the song playing process was filmed on a service called Quick, which allows you to stream video from your mobile phone. It was written in the guy's flat, but he'd managed to rig up a webcam in every room so that you could see the songwriting process take place and leave chat messages. And that was using a system called Mogulus. And at the same time, he was getting feedback and comments on the songs through a system called Seismic, which I don't know if you use Twitter, which is like a micro-blogging site. Seismic is its kind of video partner, if you like. But the whole project, why would you try and create a song about the day's news? To find out more, Rise and Shine's founder, Dean Whitbread, explained the rationale.
The project's called Rise and Shine. It's on riseandshine.tv. And what we have to do as writers is write a song every morning, which is inspired by the news. We have a lot of input from our audience who suggest topics and give us lyrics and sometimes they give us performances to use. And today's challenge has been to write on the subject of the Japanese unmanned space flight. In fact, it's origami. They're sending origami into space to re-enter the Earth. And this is quite a serious news item. It's a challenge. From a 7 a.m. start, we've got 3 hours. And we work pretty steadily until at 10 to 10, we're performing the song in its entirety before a live audience.
That was Dean Whitbread, one of the musical creators behind Song A Day. But Chris, I have to ask, are these songs actually any good?
They're surprisingly good, given the constraints. I came up with the lyric, which was, the song was about the news story about the Japanese launching paper planes into space. So the lyric I came up with was "To boldly go where no man's gone A4."
Ah, very funny.
Yeah, you see, so it's all a bit like that. But it is all in a good cause, so I don't think we want to set the quality threshold too high.
That was an absolutely horrendous joke. Anyway, it's Chris Valance. He's our technology correspondent with his first foray into writing lyrics. Don't give up your day job, Chris. He'll be meeting up with Mira again soon. This is, of course, The Naked Scientist with Chris and Victoria and Dave. And very soon we're going to be finding out about the answer to this week's question of the week, which concerns whether or not you should glug down that bottle of wine if you discover it when you're very thirsty in the desert. Don't forget, it's our science phone-in extravaganza. If you've got any science questions for us, email us, chris@thenakedscientists.com.
The Naked Scientist Podcast, brought to you by thenakedscientist.com.